I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories. On this episode of The Dad Experience, Adam sits down and talks to Justin, a dad to twins. He's also a successful YouTuber with 1.1 million subscribers and has a show on Facebook, Discovery Twins. So join us, won't you, on this amazing journey we like to call The Dad Experience. Welcome to another episode of The Dad Experience. Super excited about this episode. Today we have Justin on. Justin is has a family YouTube page with 1.1 million subscribers. We'll have all of his links and everything in the bio. He also has a Facebook page for his family, and he has a Facebook watch show called Discovery Twins. He's a filmmaker, storyteller, digital marketing expert, content strategist, video expert, and he is a dad, which is why we brought him onto The Dad Experience. Justin, welcome to The Dad Experience.
Thank you. I assume you didn't bring me on because of digital marketing. It is called The Dad Experience.
You know, but maybe you'll help us with the digital marketing. Who knows?
and I will say you listed all those things. Thank you. But I would say I'm a dad first.
Yeah. And that's what, and you know, you specifically told me that you're a dad first. And, you know, I also failed to mention in when I was introducing you that you did stand-up comedy for 10 plus years.
Yeah. And the way that works is you do it for many years and you're very unsuccessful. You're not funny. You have to get over all your little internal demons, you know, because really the essence of being a good comedian is being yourself on stage and not really trying. And that takes years to do. So my point is that I probably did it for 12, 13 years. And I guess I did it, quote unquote, professionally for about five. And I mean, professionally, because, you know, when you get paid gigs and I did USO tours for the troops overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq and some TV spots. And I was the house comic at the Improvs traveling across the country. It was a tough job as well.
No, I bet. Not only the traveling, but just it's probably just new content trying to come up with and just in and out of the different cities. And you know, I always compare comedians, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm a musician. I always compare comedians to like jazz musicians. They always, if you ever go to like a jazz club, I don't know if you have, you always go and folks, the jazz musicians will in between sets just sit down with the folks in the audience to get to know them. And I've been to comedy shows and usually that's what happens. And I don't care if they're like, maybe not the top A-list comedians that can't go out without being stopped every 2 seconds to take a photo. But you know, folks that are on the scene that are doing, you know, maybe television or maybe doing some movies here and there, they take the time to sit down and talk to you and find out who you are, because it just seems like, to me, jazz musicians and comedians are just the most real people. I don't know, not that other folks aren't real, but I mean, in that entertainment business, that's just what it seems to me.
Well, you're right. And I would say the best comedians are that way. Obviously, there's a lot of bad musicians, there's a lot of bad comedians, and there's a lot of people who get into business, you know, the arts, and maybe they don't get into it for the right reasons or they like the talent. But from my experience, you know, my favorite comedians are always the ones that are the most genuine and they are the most sincere. And they do have really good improvisational skills because they have a sincere interest in their audience. So they will talk to them and get to know them. And that's when, you know, an audience loves you, because it's really, it's bigger than the jokes. It's more about the experience. And I think jazz and blues is the same way. It's more about, okay, what's going to happen right now? Because I'm in this time and space right now. And this show is only for me, because this is something that, you know, hasn't been regurgitated.
Right, right. No, it's just such an interesting thing, and two worlds that you necessarily don't always think of colliding. But I've run into that experience quite a few times, and I always love going to a good jazz club, and I always love going to a good comedy club, and especially because a lot of times you can see your top list comedians at places when they, you know, I live in the Detroit area, and they come through town.
But I've played many times. I played what is outside of Detroit where they have that club.
Royal Oak?
Yeah. I can't even remember the name of the club now. I played there several times. It's a comedy castle?
Yes, there's a Comedy Castle.
I played there too. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and it's just, you know, I've seen the big names in there, but I've also seen, you know, the guys that are opening and seeing the up and coming talent. And that, it's always cool to see that stuff and those folks getting a chance. And that kind of happens with jazz too, or those musicians that are like, hey, you've got an instrument, you're here, come on, jam with us, play. You know, it's kind of a neat thing to see. So, you know, enough about that stuff. We're here to talk dad and a little bit about you and your background and find out more about you and your family. So we always start every Dad Experience episode when we have a guest on with, who do you live with at home and what's the makeup of your family?
Well, my wife is Nigerian. So we have identical twins, Ava and Alexis. They're obviously, you know, they're biracial. They're five. And our son is 14 months. His name is Jersey. So I'm in an interracial marriage and, you know, we have biracial children.
All right.
In New Jersey.
What's that?
In New Jersey.
Oh, in New Jersey. In New Jersey. Right. No pets or anything like that. We don't ever want to forget the pets on the show. Sometimes we do.
No pets, actually. We've been thinking about it, but we are sensitive enough to the pet to know that the girls, when they were babies, they would, you know, they're not that nice to animals because they don't understand. But I think now they're at the age five where they could appreciate a dog. So a pet is something that we're thinking about.
Down the road, maybe. Well, that's great. So, you know, tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel. It's extremely successful. And why did you start it?
Well, YouTube, yeah, we have, I think, 1.1 million on that channel. My wife has a channel. And then my wife and I also have a channel called the McClure Algorithm, where we have adult conversations about parenting, about relationships, where we kind of sit on the couch and talk about various ideas. But the successful channel, the big successful channel is our family channel, which has, you know, like I said, 1.1 million followers. We started, well, basically, I created this years ago as a comedian in like 2006 or whatever, and I was just putting up comedy gigs. And then we had a mega viral video in 2016. And I'm saying, you know, Adam, a video that was so viral that, you know, we put it out, and the next day we were on the Today Show. And then we were on Good Morning America. So it was like one of those really viral videos where my twin daughters realized they were twins, and one realized that she was 1 minute younger, and the one who was younger wanted to be older because she felt, you know, that was better to be older. And so she cried, and it was just a very sweet, endearing moment that kind of captured people's hearts because it was very sweet. Prior to that, we were kind of, you know, quote unquote, vlogging, sharing family experiences. And, you know, we never really got into it. We never thought we would be successful on YouTube. We just said, okay, why don't we, you know, start making some videos. And I had experience in that. And, you know, for my comedy days, I wrote a lot of scripts and sketches, and I filmed a lot, and I was in a lot. So I was very familiar with, you know, being with a camera. So we started just kind of creating family little videos of going to the park and going to the store. And then we started this series where my wife would talk to our daughters. And then that's one of the videos that went really viral. And within probably, you know, Adam, probably within a week, we had 100,000 subscribers just like that.
Wow. Wow. That's huge. So when you guys go out to the market, or your kids are with you and the family goes out to that park, do you guys get stopped a lot because they've seen your videos, or?
Yeah, we get stopped. We're not stopped. I mean, you know, people recognize us.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. People recognize us probably. I mean, I'm saying this very gratefully. I'm not boasting about it. I'm just saying.
No, I understand.
It tickles me. I mean, we probably get recognized about, you know, everywhere we go. If people spend, you know, if they're fans of Facebook or YouTube in general, they probably have seen us because we are, you know, very big on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, you probably have seen our videos. And if you liked it, you subscribe. And then on YouTube, if you're a kid, you definitely have probably seen, you know, our girls. So if you're really into YouTube, social media, you know, Instagram, you definitely probably have seen us. And, you know, those people come up to us. And it's really, it's kids, it's grandmas, it's everyone, because our videos are really, you know, more family friendly. And, you know, we try to have a lot of dignity with what we do. We don't take an approach of like, what can we do to get views? We really think about, okay, what type of content do we want to live forever? And are our kids going to be proud of this in 20 years? And part of my part of my attitude towards it all is that, you know, I want my kids one day to be very proud of the effort their dad put into making these videos and these life lessons and these experiences, because sometimes I'll use three cameras and I'll make it like a real movie and I'll edit it for, you know, a couple of days. So when my kids are older, I want them to look back and say, wow, our dad, you know, that's part of the love he had, is he wanted to really create these great memories for us.
Absolutely. And you know what else is neat about that? And I was kind of, you know, I was always hesitant at first myself when I, you know, because a lot of the folks that follow our Instagram page, it's pretty much all my kids. Sometimes our co-host Mike's kids are on there, and or my kids and my wife. And, you know, at first I was like, man, you know, do I want to go that route? You know, they're kids. They don't really have a choice right now. I'm kind of making that choice. But then I look back and I start scrolling back through, you know what I mean? And you see the growth, and it's like, the albums that you and I had when we were kids, and those plastic protected albums with the photos stuck to the sticky page, that's kind of what we're creating for our kids. They just happen to be out on the internet. So
yeah, exactly. We got into it and said, you know, instead of having yearbooks or whatever, the internet now, we can make videos. We can have great, you know, photos on Instagram. Let's just document, you know, our kids' lives in this way, and the memories. When they have questions about what was I like, when did I learn my ABCs, or when did I learn how to count, or, you know, what was my first nursery rhyme? Well, we got it all on video. And not only do we have it all on video, we have it all on video in a very good way, in a very storytelling way that basically you can look at and watch time and time again. And that's something I'm very proud of, is that, you know, as a father, I don't look at this as a way to like, okay, how can we use our kids and our family to, you know, provide a living, make an income. It's basically, we make material and content that is very positive, and we need that in today's society. The work we're doing is very important. And I don't say that lightly. I say that, I mean, I'm very serious about that, with the state of where the country is in, and in the society, and, you know, how negative things can be. We need more positive influences out there. And that's what we try to do. So we're doing it for ourselves, but we also make some of our feel good content to hopefully inspire other people, that if they're trying to get on YouTube, they can say, wow, I want to make videos like the McClures, because they're doing well, and they're not making all this, you know, dramatic type material. They're making videos that their kids are going to be proud of in 50 years.
Yeah. You know, and to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, I was just finishing up the Michelle Obama book, Becoming, and there's a segment in there, and it's not going to spoil the book, but there's a segment in there where she's talking about kids and how kids, you know, see the magic and everything still when they're young, and they see the good in everything, and everything is positive. And I agree with you. Like you said, the world, there's so much negativity, so much hatred in the world, that, you know, maybe putting our kids out there and sharing the positivity and the excitement that they have in those different aha moments when they do learn their ABCs is such a cool thing. And it makes your heart, you know, you smile, and it warms your heart. So, you know, kudos to you for doing that and sharing that goodness with the world.
Well, I appreciate that. And now I feel it's our duty. You know, we have millions of followers. Our family does, on Facebook and YouTube and et cetera. It's our duty. We are in, you know, I don't like the word influence, but in some ways, when people know who you are, and you have a low level of celebrity, then we have a duty, I feel, to represent what we feel, you know, the ethos and the integrity and the values that we have. We need to translate that through our video and our content. And I feel that's part of our duty. And so we also take that very seriously, of like everything that we do. Okay, how is this going to make someone feel? And we do try to go for that feel good. Like, we want to make people feel good. We want to make them laugh, or, you know, just feel good inside. There's a lot of emotional stuff that I've done, you know, that I've shot and I edited with music. And I try to make people feel like a certain way, especially if my, you know, kids are working with special needs kids or whatever. Like, I want to have people have a feeling at the end of like, wow, this was entertaining, but it also made me feel great.
Right, right. And, you know, so since you've been creating all the online content, has this in any way helped shape your parenting style or help you grow as a parent?
Yeah. I will say that, and by the way, you know, Adam, I'm very transparent, almost too much sometimes, but you know, one of the things I've struggled with is that I sometimes feel I'm not spending enough time with my kids because I've never worked so hard as I have in the past, you know, few years with building our business. And when I say spending time, you know, let's also be clear. We spend like 24 hours a day with each other, but I'm the type of dad that I would really just love to, you know, be coaching soccer or basketball, or, you know, just be sitting in, you know, on the carpet with my son, Jersey, who's 14 months old, just playing with him and not worrying about some of the duties and responsibilities that I have, because unlike other people in our space, we do everything ourselves. Like I am, you know, I've taught myself to be very good at a few things and we do them very well, but I do them all. And my wife, you know, does her responsibility. So how's it changed me? Well, I'm not sure how it's changed me because I only became a father, you know, like 4 years ago. So before that, I was living kind of this rampant life in New York City, you know, living a whole different life. You know, Adam, you know, I'm 6 years sober. So 6 years ago, I was, you know, kind of a drunk womanizer, and I just kind of lived a very selfish life. And now I live the very opposite life. And, you know, it's a much more fulfilling life now. I'm very happy. But part of my story is that I used to be a completely different person.
And you know, may I ask, what flipped the switch on that? What made you want to go, you know, that life needs to get put behind me, and I need to move forward and become this better person?
I want to share this because it might help other people. But and if people go to my Instagram, you know, you can. I did a series of 9 videos, 9 1-minute videos about my sobriety and how it happened. And through that is how I became a father as well. But basically, you know, Adam, I've you know, been to rehab a few times. I've got a few DUIs. I've been to jail a few times. I've lived the craziest life. Like I've lived a life that, you know, I definitely should be sober. Like I shouldn't be drinking or drugging or womanizing. That's what I used to do. So basically, and the other thing is normal people don't end up comedians. So there's a lot of pain that people bring to a stage to try to get fulfillment from people. But when I got healthy, what happened was one day I came home drunk and I turned on a movie on a Friday night and I was drunk. And in the movie, I saw myself. And the movie is called Unguarded, the Chris Herron story. It's about a basketball player who wasted his career on drugs and alcohol and the life that I was living. In that movie, I saw myself, and there was one part in the movie where he was sober and he was living a great life and he was a hero. And he went back to where he used to drink and drug. And he said, right here is where I passed out while my wife and my kid were at the airport waiting for me. And I said to the TV, I said, that's pathetic. And then I said, oh, wait, that's you. And then there was a feeling that went through my body of shame and just I was, but also inspired to be better. So I woke up the next day and I went to an AA meeting and I started meditating and I started going to therapy and I haven't had a drink since. And that was in New York City and that was in 2012. So really not that long ago, but 2012, that was when I decided to change my life and I was by myself and I was single. And then now, you know, I have 3 kids and I live in the suburbs and I'm pretty much the guy I used to make fun of living in New Jersey.
Yeah. And you know, there might be dads out there. There might be families out there that are struggling with this, dads, moms, whatever. What's that one bit of advice that you have those people that are on the edge and thinking about, hey, I need to get help. You know, what do you think you could share, or a tip that you could share with those folks to kind of just help push them over the edge to reach out and get that help?
Well, for me, I look at things logically. The life I was living wasn't fulfilling and it wasn't happy. And if I could speak directly to anyone who might be suffering from any type of addiction, for me, I could not drink enough to be happy. I could not bed enough women to be happy. I could not do enough drugs to be happy. I was always miserable and I was wasting all my money and I was literally living paycheck to paycheck. And I had a 6-figure salary and I didn't have a place to stay. I was living on couches. Like, I was really in a miserable state. So what did I have to lose? And so I decided that I wanted to be more of the man that I admire. And I wrote down who I was, and I was not that person at all. And I really got disgusted with the person, because we can kid ourselves all we want. We can say, oh, you know, I'm a good person. Okay, so let's say somebody lies and they cheat and they steal. They can sit around and say they don't do it. But when you write it down and you look at that and you like, no, I've been lying, cheating, and stealing. And in my case, I was living a very selfish life. I was probably manipulating women in some ways. You know, I was a very insecure person. When I wrote all these things down, I said, this is pretty pathetic. This is not the person I wanted to be. Well, then how do I get to that place? The first thing I said, well, I just need to stop drinking. I don't need to complicate my life. So speaking directly to people, when I changed my life, I tried to make it simple. I said, the first thing is just stop drinking and move to a place in New York City that I didn't know anybody, and remove all those temptations. And really, like they say, one day at a time. But man, you know, that was a very hard thing for me to do as well. And it was pretty much one day at a time.
Oh, wow. You know, and it's an impressive story. And, you know, kudos to you for continuing on your sobriety journey and sharing with folks. Because, you know, you never know. There's folks out there that are struggling, and hopefully they'll hear you and know that, reach out for help, talk to somebody, go to a meeting. Do what you can do to get yourself into that frame.
People can reach out to me as well. I encourage everyone. You know, a big part of my life is, there's also a video on our YouTube page and on Instagram where I explain my sobriety to my daughters. My daughters found my sobriety coins, and they're like, you know, dad, what are these coins? And, you know, basically I'm like, let's have a conversation. But I wanted to film it because I knew by filming it, one, like I said, I'm very transparent. I don't believe in hiding anything from my kids. If they ask what is death? What are these coins? Like, I don't, it's my duty and my job to respect them and to treat them like real people and not pretend that they don't have real feelings. Because if they're intelligent enough to ask the question, they deserve the answer. So when I started telling them about my coins, it was like a real sincere effort of explaining where I'd gone through and the humility that I found to get there. And then part of that is also sharing it with other people so that maybe they can look at that and say, you know, wow, you know, this is something that touched me. And maybe, because you never know who needs to hear something. And that's why I'm very forward about sharing my story and having people, you know, from that Instagram share of the 9 videos. I mean, I had probably 100 people that said, thank you for that. Or like, I've been struggling, or like, I'm 3 years sober. And, you know, thanks for just talking about this.
No, yeah. Well, and that's great of you to create contact for people as well, not just creating the stuff for people to see and get help from, but also creating that dialogue and being available for them. So, you know, thanks for doing those things for folks and sharing your story and kind of circling back to, you know, the whole, your whole production of creating content and putting content out there. You know, we talked a little bit about this towards the beginning of the show when we were talking in the age of where we're sharing things as parents of our kids and creating these online, you know, yearbooks and family books and pictures of our kids. Are there measures that you take to protect your family when you are posting or creating content and putting it out there online?
That's a good question. I would really say no. We naturally, you know, my wife and I, we have a lot of integrity. So we already are not like our girls are 5 years old and they act 5, like they, you know, they still sing nursery rhymes and stuff like that. So we're not trying to make them look like adults. We don't do anything, you know, risky. Like I said, everything that we post or that we create is really to create a feeling of that people like, wow, this is a good family. I like following this family. These are good kids. A lot of the videos we do are based around etiquette and, you know, courtesy and manners and stuff like that to show how great our kids are. And then hopefully people can applaud the parenting as well. So naturally, I think we don't have to really curb any of our material because it's already always going to be positive by default. Now, I don't know if your other question is about protecting the kids, but you know, and to answer that, that's a tricky one, because now with the age of the internet, you know, everything is kind of out there. It's really hard to have any secrets or whatever. So not much is really off limits. There's a lot of things that we're private about. But as far as, like I said, I'll talk about my sobriety. We'll talk about, you know, anything that's really personal, especially if we feel that it can help somebody else or that they can relate to it. Like, for instance, my wife, we just weaned my son off of, you know, the breast milk. And we wanted to make a video about how difficult that experience is for her. It's like she's got to let him go. And that closeness that, you know, that a mom has with her child. And she felt a little guilty because he was crying a lot. And he wanted that milk from her. And she had to wean him off. And it was like, so I made this kind of like this emotional video that it was about that experience. So a lot of things is, you know, it's kind of weird. We're very private about a lot of things, but we're also very forthcoming with things that are very personal.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, I think when you're creating content that's meaningful and you're not there, like you said earlier, for the likes or for the downloads, and you're there for just creating content for you as well as helping other folks, it takes on a whole different meaning. And I think that's what I'm gathering from what you're saying, is that when you create that stuff for the greater good and for, you know, keeping your family closer together, to just share experiences together and be open with each other, it automatically makes it, you know, there's nothing really there to hide because it's all there to be shared.
Yeah. I mean, respect over views. We're living in this age where people want to watch a kid falling down the stairs more than they want to watch a kid reading a book. But we do not equivocate on, we're going to make the videos about reading the book. Now, we try to make them entertaining because it is about the views as well. Like, you can't sustain providing for yourself and living the type of life you want to live. I want to live a life of financial freedom, and there's no secret there. Like, I don't care about material things. I don't want to worry about money in the way of how am I going to get it. I want to know that I have enough and I can coach soccer for 6 weeks and not even worry about or basketball or whatever. So that's the way that we look at money. And so views help provide that. But I would not sell out my family or my kids to say, oh, let's make this type of a video because that's going to be a lot of views. No, we're still going to make the videos that we want to make. We're just going to try to make them entertaining in a way that people still want to watch. Because right now, everyone wants to watch all the dramatic stuff, all the pranks. And, you know, if somebody gets a Lamborghini and makes a video, they're going to get a lot of views or whatever. We don't do that type of stuff. It's not interesting to us. I kind of look down on it. You know, I'm very open about how I feel about things. I obviously have a lot of strong opinions. I just don't like, you know, where the internet is headed with how corruptive is making our kids, because they're watching all these videos that are pranks and drama and dead girlfriend prank or like this and that, and that's what they're absorbing, and it's really not a good thing. So once again, we are trying to be a positive space. So if you run into our videos, you're just like, wow, I mean, this is a fun family. Like, I want to follow them and see what their journey is all about.
Yeah. And we need, and you're right. We need more of that. We need more content where it's entertaining, but it also, it shows good, healthy families, any type of families from any different background, different race, from different parents, whatever. It needs to be there because, like you said, there's too much. And influencer is a hard word to use, but a lot of the folks that are putting those out there, you know, they have that power to influence people to, you know, take trips to places where they don't necessarily aren't going to be going to where they're advertised. And we've seen that in different documentaries that have been shared and shown. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the power of the internet is huge, and it can be the devil and it can be, you know, a godsend. So it's like, you know, and hopefully more people will start gravitating towards the positive end and pushing out that content there that will help folks be entertained, but also see the good in the world. So,
But you need more people that, because if there's a YouTube channel and it's all pranks and, you know, negative things, and that's all kids are seeing, and that's what's successful, they're going to want that because that's what their environment of success is. their idea of success is that channel. But if they see more positive channels that have millions of subscribers and views, they can be like, okay, well, maybe I can go this route as well. And it's just like in the podcast realm, like you have a positive podcast where you talk to dads about their experience. And that is a great thing. And that's why hopefully it needs to be supported. But, it's also your job, and you're doing that to make it entertaining so that when people listen to it, they're like, oh, this is a positive experience. I'm learning something and I'm being entertained, because I know from doing this, and I've been doing this for long enough, and I'm in it hardcore. I know YouTube very well. I know Facebook very well. I know all these things very well. And I know bluntly, you have to entertain first and foremost. No matter what you're making, it's got to be entertaining. People have no attention span. There's such a saturation of everything. If it's not entertaining, people will click on something else within a second. And that's where, for us, you got to remove your ego. You can't think what you're doing is great, because it's not. Because within one click, somebody can go somewhere else right away. So you got to try to make it entertaining in your niche as soon as you can, and keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. Have you, what you just said reminded me of something. Have you guys seen, I think it's called Ralph Breaks the Internet now, or Wrecks the Internet. I can't remember what the title is, but no. Have you seen, you guys? Oh man, there's a whole thing about just what you talked about in that. I don't want to spoil that for folks either, but there's a whole thing in that movie just about clicking and being places instantaneously. So, you hit the nail right on the head, and absolutely. People can go from, shopping at Amazon in 10 seconds after they shut off your podcast. So, it is, you're right. You've got to keep them entertained. You got to keep them going. This is a good spot for us to take a quick break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get us on their app that you can download at the iTunes Store and the Google Play Store. You can get our podcast on there, as well as many other parenting podcasts. And stick around after the break, after the end of the episode, to hear about another great parenting podcast from the Parents On Demand Network that, if you like the Dad Experience, I'm sure you're going to like. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We are here with Justin talking about online content, creating content from our families, as well as being a dad. And we've got a great dad on here today, has shared a lot of awesome experiences, and some experiences that I think are very, very helpful for many, many dads and moms out there listening. So we're going to continue on with that conversation. So over time, and I know you haven't been a parent a long, long time. You've been a parent longer than me, but over the years, and as your children have grown, how has your parenting style changed? Has it changed much, or are they still at that age where it's kind of still the same old, same old?
Well, it needs to be clear that my identical twins, I adopted. So If we go back to 2012, when I got sober, I never thought I was fit to be a dad or a husband. But I ended up adopting, kids that I did not biologically bring into the world. And, that was part of my transformation and part of my change as a person, that I was able to open my eyes and my heart to that experience. So I will say that needs to be said, because when I adopted the girls, I obviously fell in love with them, and I became a dad through, kind of hanging out with them and dating, my wife. I married their mom, and I learned to be a dad. But I have great intuition, I think, and instincts, and, I'm very present. And I like to teach. So early on, it was really just about, spending time with my daughters, the twins, and, trying to teach them things and being there with them and putting my phone down and just making sure that I'm there and making sure that, realizing I'd look into their little faces when they were very small and just know that these faces are going to change so fast and I have to be there. And really, that hasn't changed at all, because now I have my son, Jersey, that my wife and I, had. He's 14 months old. And tonight, the same thing. It's like I just sit there and I put my phone to the side and I just play with him for a while, and I look at him and I just look at his face and say, this sweet, adorable face is going to change soon. I have to just stare at it and just take it all in, because when I'm old and I'm going to die, I'm never going to say, oh man, I wish I would have spent more time on my phone. But we will definitely regret the times that we should have spent more time with our kids and built more relationships. So my style is heavily predicated on, just being present, trying to spend time, taking my girls to school, asking them how their day was, coloring with them, reading with them at night. Like I said, I'm a dad first. My wife and I, ostensibly, we aren't that social. So it might appear that we are social, but we're not. We love kind of being at home. We're, you know, I'm a creative. I'm, as much as I'm talking, I'm very much an introvert. I don't really, you know, like I said, we don't over engage. We like to spend time with our family. We like to do things together.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. It seems to be that way, even in the musician world. And, you know, like I said, I am a music educator, but I do some performing on the side as well. And it just seems to be that way. We walk onto that stage or we are creating something that we're going to put out into the world on the internet. But when it comes from stepping away from that microphone or stepping away from that camera, a lot of times the artist or the creative end of people will just kind of shut off or go back and just kind of keep to themselves. So they don't think that's as uncommon as, you know, I think that's very, very common, especially in that world, in that realm. But what do you think so far has been maybe the most challenging about raising children or raising your children?
What's been challenging lately has been, what way do I discipline my children? That has been very difficult. I've even talked to this. My girls go to a private school. They go to a Montessori school. And I even brought that up to them. I said, you know, I don't like raising my voice because I feel that's a bully move. You know, a parent should never really yell at their kids because they can't. You know, it's a bully. I'm being a bully if I do that. But I find myself repeating myself over and over and over again about the same things. And I'm a fairly, I guess, intense person in the way that if I tell you something once, then that's enough. You should have paid attention, right? But then you have to be forgiving and know that your kids are five, and you know. So I guess my biggest challenge is you know, really trying to understand the right way to parent through discipline, through, you know, loving your children immensely and being there for them and being in some ways a friend, but also, you know, being a complete parent and bringing them up in a world where you want them to be the people that you know that they can be through your parenting skills. And a lot of that is overwhelming. Sometimes it's difficult. And I find sometimes that we're so busy with our business, and I'm so busy with my business and what I'm doing, that I sometimes think, am I putting enough time where it needs to go? And if I feel that I'm not, then I'll stop what I'm doing like for that week and say, you know what, I need to change directions and put my area of focus into the kids for a while.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a reoccurring segment on this show that we like to have all of our guests answer. And that is, you know, when it kind of goes hand in hand with what's been challenging and just your image over time and things like that. But what are you most excited to experience or see through your children's eyes? You know, it may have already happened and it's something you may be looking forward to or something that you can't wait to share and experience again, but now seeing it on the flip side as the dad, seeing it through your kids' eyes.
Well, you know, this age is great because they're so little and it's such an amazing experience, but I look forward to when the girls and my son are older and they can intellectually understand life better, where we can have deep talks about, you know, spiritual progress, about becoming a better person. And I can open up more about my life and how I got to where I got to and hopefully use that as a way to get much closer to my, not that I'm not close, I'm very close, but to stay very close and to have not only a great parent-child relationship, but a great friendship. So I'm looking forward to just, and like I said, I'm a dad that is very transparent. And I also would encourage other dads. I know, like, if you go back into, like, you know, the 70s or a long time ago, you know, dads didn't open up that much. They didn't say they loved their kids or, you know, they didn't open up. They didn't share their personal stories. It was just like it is what it is. But with me, I tried to really treat my kids with dignity and respect. And I look forward to, as I get older and, you know, they become more intellectual and they can understand, they can process things, how that can make our relationships, you know, even closer.
Yeah, no, that's beautifully said. And, you know, the good thing is, I'd say 99% of the dads that we've had on the Dad Experience all are about opening up and sharing, you know, their love with their kids and telling them that they love them and breaking down that whole barrier of, you know, that macho masculine man that you have to be, that you can't cry, that you can't share your feelings or wear your emotions on your sleeve. So, you know, it's a good thing that I have been seeing, and now you're obviously sharing with us to the table. So thank you for sharing that and encouraging that, because I think that needs to happen more often. And I think that stigma of we can't do those things needs to go away, because our kids do need to see that we're human beings, that we do have feelings, and that we do cry, or we do get sad, or we do laugh, and we want to be, you know, a happy family together and experience things together. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, at this point, before we close out the show, can you tell us, you know, where we can find your stuff and plug your social media, you know, accounts again? We'll put them all in the show notes for folks so they can just click on them right away and get to them. But, you know, tell us a little bit more about where they can find you and how to follow you on the different social media platforms.
Yeah, sure. On Facebook, we're McClure Twins Family. And on Facebook, we have a show on Facebook Watch called The Discovery Twins, where our daughters kind of discover new things people discover things through the eyes of the girls that I film and that I make into, you know, movies or videos or whatever. So that's called The Discovery Twins. On YouTube, we are McClure Twins Family. And my wife and I have a channel called The McClure Algorithm, where basically the algorithm means, you know, we're trying to figure out life from parenting and relationships. We have a podcast as well called Last Week in Parenting, where we talk about, you know, our week in parenting and our relationship. And, you know, we kind of check in with each other, and we kind of, as you get from my tone, you know, I get pretty deep pretty quickly. So, you know, I'm not much for small talk. So our podcast, I think, is a good insight into like how we don't sugarcoat things. And then on Instagram, I'm JK McClure, Justin McClure. My daughters are McClure twins. And my son is Jersey Tyall McClure. And they, you know, my daughters have like 1.7 million followers on, I mean, they're huge stars. Like, they're going to be huge stars. So really my job is to just, you know, enable them to grow up with empathy. That's the key word, is to have empathy for the world. Because as they get bigger and bigger and bigger, I want them to know where they came from. I want them to, you know, look people in the eye, have respect, be courteous, and be empathetic to people around them. So that's kind of the main thing in our parenting, because, you know, our kids are going to be, you know, massive stars if they want to be. But that's how people can find us.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing all that stuff. And thank you so much for joining us today on this journey and on this episode. I've learned a lot as a dad, and hopefully our listeners have too. So thank you so much for opening up and sharing with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of that Parents On Demand network. You can get that app. Stick around at the end of the episode for another great parenting podcast that you'll find out about. If you have a question for us, or have a show idea or topic, or have a question for Justin, feel free to email us experienceanddad@gmail.com, or reach out to us on Instagram, The Dad Experience. We will get back to you. And we're always looking for other guests and more people to have on the show. So, you know, hit us up. You know, we'll create a dialogue. We'd love to hear from you and talk to you. So thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time on The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents On Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.